said rarely wrong. He held up his hands in surrender under her glare.
Okay, enough, Sally interrupted. You two are like two toddlers fighting over whose dolly is better.
I didn't play with dolls, Costin said, looking quite horrified at the prospect.
Well, that explains what's wrong with you, Perry said with a nod. You didn't learn that it's okay to get in touch with your feminine side. It's made you unbalanced.
Lucien, Sally practically whined. Make her behave.
She turned to Costin and stood up on her toes, getting right in his face.
And you shut it, or I will not be helping you at the bar for a month.
Costin's eyes widened in horror.
A month? Come on, brown eyes, that's a little harsh. A month of no sashaying hips, flirtatious winks, or so-called accidental groping? That's just cruel.
Sally just glared at him with her hands on her hips. Costin finally huffed.
Fine, I'll shut it.
He leaned back against the wall, crossed his ankles, and shoved his hands into his pockets.
I'm impressed, Perry started, but was pulled up short when Lucien growled her name.
What are we going to do? Sally asked.
Perry didn't have the slightest clue, but she didn't voice that out loud. Only her mate would know just how helpless she was beginning to feel. Vulcan seemed to be two steps ahead of them at every turn. Just when Perry was about to throw out some weak option, there was a loud crash from upstairs. All four of their heads snapped up as if they could see through the ceiling. Then the front door slammed open as Nick came flying inside. Perry nearly groaned at the hole the doorknob left in her wall. Werewolves were hard on houses. She made a note to herself to build her next house out of stone.
I just saw Jewel and some other girl running into the forest, the young wolf told them as he attempted to catch his breath.
Perry felt her stomach clench.
And why are you standing here and not chasing them? Dalton is already pursuing them, and some of the other males have joined him.
That must have been the crash. That stupid wolf had a thing about going through windows.
What did the girl look like? She was kind of short, brown curly hair, and she was wearing a skirt, Nick told them.
Anna, Sally and Perry said at the same time. Wasn't she in the pixie realm hiding out from Gustavo? Sally asked.
Costin pushed away from the wall.
So what you're saying is there's an alpha wolf, unbonded, trapped in a realm that no longer contains his mate?
Chapter 13. These aren't my hands that cause such pain. These aren't my lips that utter such speech. These aren't my feet that carry me away from you. This isn't me. It looks like me, it sounds like me, but peel away the flesh, look past the muscle and marrow, and you will see. The darkness grows, the power swells, and it refuses to be contained or controlled. Just remember, it isn't me.
Jewel Stone. Jewel grabbed her head and bit her lips to keep from screaming. The pain had been growing steadily worse. She tried to ignore it, not wanting her date with Dalton to come to an end. But when she started hearing Vulcan's voice in her mind, she could no longer sit there and pretend to be okay.
She's coming. She will be the first to join with us. Meet her outside. Go.
She couldn't deny the command. She couldn't fight it. Jewel knew she had to be quiet or Dalton would hear her and want to know if she was okay. If she then didn't answer him, the door wouldn't stop him. She pushed the window open and looked down. It was a decent drop.
You won't fall. Go,
the dark Fae's voice urged. She cringed at the pain his presence in her mind caused. Jewel carefully climbed out of the window and grabbed onto the sill. Her feet caught on a small ledge that protruded from the side of the house. She knew that what she was doing was defying gravity. She lowered herself and put her hands on the ledge and then stepped off of it while still holding on with her hands. She slid down until her feet touched the ground. When she looked back up to her window, she couldn't believe she'd made it without falling and breaking her neck. When she turned around, her eyes widened at the sight of Anna and a little flying woman coming toward her. She felt the sudden urge to get Anna behind the cover of the bushes as quickly as possible. She motioned for them to hurry, and to her surprise, Anna ran right to her and wrapped her arms around Jewel.
"I'm so glad you're okay," she said fiercely.
Jewel hugged her back, but then was reminded by a friendly jolt from Vulcan that she had work to do. She pulled back from Anna and looked at her.
I thought you were in the pixie realm. I was, but then the Pixie King's brother told me that you had been released, and we were allowed to come back to Perry's. Where is everyone else?
Jewel shook her head at the other healer.
Anna, no one else has returned.
What?
I knew that dirty son of a pixie was lying.
The pixie woman spat as she landed on the ground next to Anna.
Anna noticed Jewel looking down at the woman.
Oh, sorry, Jewel. This is Adira. Adira, this is my friend and fellow gypsy healer, Jewel.
Adira nodded.
Nice to meet you.
And you, Jewel replied, then looked back to Anna. She felt the magic in her blood, the darkness begin to heat her veins. It was happening. Vulcan had warned her that she wouldn't be able to resist its pull, that she would have to release it. She struggled to push away the urge, but it was futile.
Jewel, are you okay? Anna asked, placing a hand on her shoulder.
A tear escaped Jewel's eye as she opened them.
I'm so sorry, Anna. I hope you can forgive me.
Anna's forehead scrunched into one of confusion.
What do you mean?
In answer, Jewel took Anna's other hand, the one not on her shoulder, and using one of her fingernails that was suddenly wicked sharp, cut a slash in her palm. Then Jewel cut her own palm and pressed their hands together. There was no waiting. The magic flared between them, and Jewel felt instant relief as dark magic flowed from her body into Anna's. Words filled her mind, and she knew she needed to say them out loud. As she spoke, the wind began to whip around them, and drops of rain began to fall.
Wind, water, earth, and fire, hear my voice, obey my desire. Welcome us with open arms. Teach us of power and of charms. The craft has called to us. Fate has chosen us. Now we come. Embrace us. Here we stand. Protect us. Fire, earth, water, and wind, pour your power deep within. Teach us so we may share. Help us draw more into your care. Wind, water, earth, and fire, hear my voice, obey my desire. Anastasia heeds your command, and I, Jewel, with her stand.
Jewel opened her eyes, and the wind and rain stopped suddenly. She and Anna looked at each other, and Jewel's heart ached.
I'm so sorry.
Anna smiled, and understanding filled her eyes.
At least you won't be alone. We will do this together.
What about our friends, our...
Jewel paused and swallowed down the tears.
Our mates?
We can still be a part of them. We just can't let the darkness touch them.
Why are you so calm about this, Anna? I just turned you into a witch.
Jewel's stomach rolled with the reality of what she'd just done.
You had no choice. I saw inside of you, Jewel. As our blood mixed, your memories filled my mind, and you had no choice. If you didn't release his magic and do as it bids, it will destroy you, and it will be a horrific death.
So instead of dying and preventing all of this, I'm to go out and create an army of evil beings?
You're going to survive. Until we can figure out a way to beat this, it is our job to survive.
Anna had taken Jewel by the shoulders and was holding her tightly.
We are sisters. We are coins with two sides, our gypsy side and our witch side. And until we can figure out how to become a one-sided coin again, we will make the best of our situation.
Jewel gave a small nod.
We will survive, she repeated.
Exactly, Anna agreed. We have work to do. For now, we have landed on our witch side. Let's do our work, and when it is time to rest, we will return to our friends and our healer side.
Okay,
Jewel agreed.
I'm sorry to interrupt the little witchy pep talk, but maybe you two should think this through a little more,
Adira said as she flew higher as to be eye level with the girls. Anna smiled at the pixie.
Adira, you have become a precious friend. I thank you for letting me stay with you. I don't want you to get hurt.
I appreciate that,
Adira said, eyeing the healer.
So I do apologize about this.
Before the pixie could respond, Anna placed a finger to the woman's forehead and then caught her when she started to fall. She gently laid the pixie in the grass and then stood back up.
She will be okay. I just knocked her out, Anna told Jewel.
Jewel took a deep breath and then took Anna's hand.
Ready?
We don't have a choice, so I guess we have to be.
Without another word, they took off running. The magic inside of them drove them, commanded them in their actions, and they were powerless to deny it.
Jewel knew the moment Dalton realized she was gone. She heard his howl and knew he would be following after her. She picked up the pace and Anna matched her. How she was running so well in that skirt, Jewel didn't understand, but then there was much that had happened in the past hour that she didn't understand, and she was too tired to try and work it out now. When they finally reached the veil to the human realm, they both stopped and turned. 5 heartbeats later, 8 large wolves, one being Dalton, came prowling out of the forest. The girls watched the wolves carefully, and once they were about 15 feet away, they stopped. Jewel felt the magic stirring. She didn't want to hurt any of them, but she couldn't let them stop her and Anna. They had to obey Vulcan. To her surprise, Vulcan phased right there and stood before them in all his naked glory. She was so shocked and then so captivated by the look of anger, desperation, longing, and love, all warring in competition for dominance in his eyes, that she couldn't look anywhere else.
"Jewel!"
His voice was a punch to the gut.
"Dalton, don't, please!"
Jewel pleaded. Why, her heart cried out inside of her. Why were they here once again, saying goodbye, when all she wanted to do was be in his arms?
"Talk to me,"
he told her through clenched teeth. He was trying so hard to hold himself together and not lose control. His wolf was battling him for dominance, and, for the moment, the man was winning.
"Tell me what's going on in that beautiful head of yours, little dove. Don't shut me out. We're a team, remember?"
She wanted to tell him. It was on the tip of her tongue to tell him, but the words wouldn't leave her mouth. Jewel stared back at him, desperate for him to understand that she wasn't in the driver's seat at the moment. Vulcan was calling the shots, using his blood in her to force his will. She knew that the smile that spread across her face was not her own. She knew that the voice that came from her mouth sounded nothing like her. It was her body, but it had been taken captive by the dark magic flowing through her veins.
"Anna and I have some things we need to take care of, but we'll be back."
Perry turned to Lucien.
"Go,"
he told her. She shook her head.
"Not without you, not anymore."
She switched to the mental bond.
"I'm tired of trying to handle it all. I can't keep them safe, Lucien, and it's killing me."
Lucien took her hand and then looked at Costin and Sally.
"Perry and I will pursue the 2 healers along with the other wolves. You 2 stay here in case someone doubles back." He turned to Nick. "Show us the direction they were running."
Perry let out a shaky breath as she let Lucien take the lead. Outwardly, she was trying to appear as strong as ever, but inside she was crumbling. How had everything fallen apart so quickly? Why did things keep getting worse? Vulcan was winning, and she didn't have a damn clue how to stop him.
"One thing at a time, Perizzada,"
Lucien's voice soothed her.
"First we find Jewel and Anna, then we go from there."
She drew on his strength and pulled herself together. She was Perizzada of the High Fae, for crying out loud. She'd been placed over the healers for centuries, and the Great Luna wouldn't have put her in such a position if she didn't think Perry could handle it. With renewed resolve, she gave her mate a nod. He stripped and phased to his wolf form, and Nick did the same. Perry climbed onto her mate's back and held on tight as he shot off like a bullet, following Nick. It wasn't long before they caught up with the other wolves. They were at the veil to the human realm. Jewel and Anna stood, holding hands, staring back at the wolves that surrounded them. Dalton had phased to his human form and, true to werewolf fashion, seemed to care less that he was naked. She made a motion with her hand, and sweatpants appeared in front of him. He put them on without bothering even to look at them. His eyes were only for Jewel. Perry climbed off Lucien and walked toward the girls. She started to say something, but then both Jewel and Anna turned to look at her, their heads moving in perfect unison. Perry's feet stopped in their tracks as the girl's eyes met hers. Though their physical bodies stood before them, Jewel and Anna weren't at home.
Why can't one of us go with you? Dalton asked her.
Because the darkness in you is not a sister to the darkness in us.
What the hell does that mean?
Perry shouted.
It means only sisters can travel together. Only sisters can assist in the task we must perform. None of you,
Jewel pointed at all of them,
are sisters.
Perry watched in sick fascination as Anna's head nodded on her shoulders like a bobblehead doll, agreeing with the crap spewing from Jewel's mouth.
Anna! Perry called her name. Why aren't you in the pixie realm where I left you?
Anna gave her a sweet smile.
Cecil came and told me that my sister Jewel had been released and that all the other sisters could return.
Don't you mean healers?
Perry's eyes narrowed.
Healers now, but soon they too will be sisters, Jewel answered.
Perry was trying to think of things to keep them talking, to somehow stall whatever it was that she knew was about to happen. Stall for what, she didn't know. She didn't have a plan, and from the look on Dalton's face, he didn't either. He looked just as helpless as Perry felt. They were two steps from crossing over into the human realm and out of the protection of Fairy, when Perry yelled,
"Fight him! Jewel! Anna, you have to fight!"
She wanted to shake them so hard that the evil blood would fall right out of them, if only it were that easy. Jewel's eyes met Perry's, and she could practically feel the sorrow held in the pale green orbs. She was about to flash up to them, but Jewel must have seen Perry's intention in her face.
"Please don't," Jewel bit out in her own voice. "Don't make me hurt you. Just let us go."
Perry could tell by the way she shook that Jewel was indeed fighting for control. She was fighting the darkness inside of her in order to give them a message. Jewel's attention switched to Dalton, and her eyes softened.
"You have to let me go."
Dalton was shaking his head, but Jewel continued to speak.
"I will understand."
She paused, taking rapid breaths and clenching her jaw. The shaking was getting worse.
"I will understand if you aren't waiting for me when I get back."
"If I'm not here when you get back, it will be because I'm out there looking for you,"
Dalton informed her coolly. He was shutting down. Perry saw the minute that Dalton realized he couldn't keep Jewel here, and it was almost like he flipped a switch in his mind. Gone was the passionate man yearning for his mate, and in his place was the stone mountain. As Jewel and Anna took another step back, and then another, Dalton never made a move toward her. He simply watched her through a cold glare. With one last step back, Jewel and Anna slipped through the veil, leaving the others staring at an empty space. Perry immediately tried to flash out of her realm and into the human one, but found herself rooted to the spot. Just about that time, El and Soren came crashing through the trees, causing the other wolves to turn and snarl. They immediately backed down when they realized it was their own people, and not Vulcan pulling some trick.
"Nice of you to show up," Perry snarled.
"I tried to flash as soon as Sally and Costin explained what was going on, but I couldn't move," El told her.
Perry laughed, but there was no humor in it.
"You can thank your friendly neighborhood Dark Fae for that little gem."
"Sorry," Al said finally. "We'd turned in for the night. We heard a crash, but just figured you had ticked off one of the wolves and they were tearing up your house again."
Perry waved her off.
"There wasn't anything you could have done had you gotten here sooner."
"What happened?" Al asked.
Perry shook her head.
"Not here."
Her voice rose as she addressed everyone present.
"Let's all go back to the house. We'll talk there."
The other wolves all turned and started back for her home, but Dalton didn't move.
"Black, are you coming?"
Dalton didn't look at her as he gave a curt nod. Perry felt Lucian's hand slip into hers, and she instinctively tried to flash, but again was brought up short.
"Damn it," she ground out. "Walking sucks."
Lucian chuckled as they started off for the house.
"How are you?" he asked after several minutes of silence.
"I'm angry."
"You handled it well."
"I sort of took over there at the end."
She gave him a sheepish smile.
"I'm just used to dishing out the orders."
Lucian shrugged.
"I'll lead in any way that you need, whenever you need. I am not intimidated nor emasculated because my mate is able to lead and command others."
She squeezed his hand.
"Thank you for understanding what I need, even when I don't,"
she told him through the mate bond. He lifted their clasped hands to his lips and pressed a kiss to hers.
"It is a privilege, beloved.
When they finally reached her home, Perry stopped before they could reach the door and just stared. There they were again, gathering for a meeting to discuss what their next plan of action would be. And once again, Healers had disappeared on her watch. She didn't have a clue what to say to her comrades. Vulcan was beating her at every turn, and she was at a loss at how to fight back.
"That's the great thing about having comrades," Lucian whispered in her ear. "They might have ideas that you hadn't considered. A good leader knows when to listen. So in this moment, we may feel at a loss, but we are going in there,"
he pointed to the house,
"and we are going to gather around the table with our brothers and sisters in arms and figure out how to beat our foe."
Perry let out a breath she hadn't known she'd been holding. She nodded at him as she bit her bottom lip.
"Okay," she told him. "Let's do this."
Jewel and Anna stood just outside the fairy realm, staring up at the Fae responsible for their current situation, Vulcan. She wanted to hate him, but she couldn't. She had hated him, but it was like something in her had been activated when she'd shared her blood with Anna. He was ancient. His blood and magic were powerful, and that power was flowing through her and Anna, begging to be shared with others.
"I am pleased, little Jewel," he purred at her. "The first two witches in my coven are gypsy healers. Yes, I am well pleased."
Jewel hated that she felt pleasure over his response. Something inside of her didn't want to be a disappointment to her master.
"Thank you, Vulcan," she responded.
"Things are progressing quite nicely, but there is still more work to do."
Vulcan made a motion with his hand, and behind him, from out of the forest, two very large men stepped out.
"These are two of my loyal guards. They will be accompanying you on your journey."
Vulcan stared at them both, and the pleasure that had once been on his face was gone.
"Do not veer from your task. You know what the consequences are if you do not obey the power inside of you."
"How will we know who to add to our coven?" Anna asked him.
"Those worthy of the gift you offer will come to you. They will see that you are powerful, and they will be drawn to you. The new sisters will be required to offer a sacrifice as proof of their loyalty. Dark magic always requires a sacrifice."
"Why did we not have to give a sacrifice?" Jewel asked.
"Because magic already lives inside of you. It just needs to be shaped and molded into what I want it to be. There may come a time that I require a sacrifice from you to prove your loyalty as well, but that time is not now. What is important now is building our coven. I will take you to your first destination. After that, you will travel as the humans do. You need to come in contact with as many people as possible, and flashing with me would not be conducive to that."
Without another word, he snatched Anna and Jewel's hands, and they all disappeared. They reappeared in a dark alley. Jewel realized that Vulcan's two guards must have grabbed onto him at some point, because they too appeared beside them in the alley. She looked around, trying to see if there was any way she could figure out where he'd brought them, but it could have been any dark alley in any city.
"This is where I leave you," Vulcan spoke up. "Serve me well, and I will reward you. But if you fail, those you love will suffer greatly for your transgressions."
And then he was gone. Jewel looked at Anna and gave her a smile that she hoped was reassuring.
"You okay?"
Anna let out a deep breath and nodded. "I'm okay. Feeling a little strange, like there are two of me inside this body. One minute I'm me, Anna from New Orleans, and the next I'm Anastasia the Witch. And the switch from one to the other is seamless. It's, I don't know, just
messed up,"
one of the guards offered, reminding them that they weren't alone. Jewel turned to face the two large men. The one on the left had dark hair, long enough to be secured back with a tie. His eyes were gold in color, and his eyelashes were so dark that it almost looked as though he was wearing eyeliner. His jaw was square and strong, and his nose had a bump in it, testifying to the fact that it had been broken at least once. He was handsome, though a little rough around the edges. The guy on the right was the antithesis of his companion. He had white blonde hair worn just long enough to brush his neck. His eyes were so light they almost seemed transparent. His features were just a bit softer, though no less masculine. It was as though the guy on the left was the pencil sketch of a man with sharp angles and lines not quite meeting, and the guy on the right was the completed oil painting, all smooth and flawless. Though they were big, they didn't look menacing, but they must have been tough if Vulcan was using them to guard his precious witch healers.
"What species are you?" Jewel asked them.
The one on the left, pencil sketch guy, chuckled.
"You don't beat around the bush."
When Jewel didn't respond to the observation, he just shrugged and added,
"We're warlocks."
"I thought warlocks were supposed to be ugly," said Anna. Oil painting guy grinned, and it only made his features even smoother.
"Well, Sly, at least we have confirmation, via a gypsy healer no less, that we are not ugly."
The guy on the left, a.k.a. Sly, raised his brow and nodded.
"Are you evil?"
Jewel asked them.
"Why, is evil supposed to be ugly, too?" Sly asked her.
Jewel frowned at him.
"Of course not. Why would anyone be led down the wide path if the flowers were all dead, the trees burnt and charred, and the ground littered with trash? Evil comes adorned in beauty."
"Then you are evil?"
Oil painting warlock asked. Anna laughed and nudged Jewel's arm.
"Did you see what he just did there? You're the one who should be named Sly," she told him.
"Nah, Slagorum doesn't suit me. And in answer to your question, Jewel, I have a feeling we are no more evil than you and the lovely Anna are."
Jewel didn't know what to say to that. Did that mean they'd been forced somehow into service for Vulcan? She looked at Pencil Sketch Guy.
"You are Slagorum?"
He bowed.
"In the flesh, but please call me Sly. Humans tend to look at me weird when they hear my whole name."
"Who are you?"
Jewel turned to Oil Painting Guy.
"I like this no-nonsense thing you got going on," he said in answer. "For some chicks, it would come across as witchy, but with you, it works."
"She's a genius. Her elevator doesn't lower to the nonsense floor," Anna told him.
He laughed, and then, just as Sly had done, bowed.
"I am Zovis, and I prefer to go by Z."
Anna snorted.
"Sly and Z. I bet you two are a favorite in the club scene."
"Is that your way of saying we're not ugly again?"
Sly asked. Anna shook her head.
"No, that's my way of saying your names sound like you made them up, so you can sound cool when you introduce yourself to the girls."
"Ouch,"
Z said, taking his fist and bumping it into his chest as though stabbing himself in the heart.
"That's painful, Annie."
Jewel had to admit that as far as guards went, the two they'd ended up with could have been worse. She wouldn't go so far as to say that she trusted them, but she didn't think they were full-on, no-hope-in-sight evil, either.
"So what do we do now?" Anna asked Jewel.
Jewel waited, wondering if the same influence that had taken her over in Faerie and had her doing things like climbing out of second-story windows and sharing her blood with her friend would suddenly give her some sign as to how she should proceed. But there was nothing. She could still feel Vulcan's magic in her. But it was like it had gone into hibernation.
"I don't know,"
she finally admitted. Sly raised his hand and gave them a little wave.
"We've got you covered, Wheelers."
"Wheelers?"
Jewel and Anna said at the same time. Z nodded and gave them a grin that Jewel could tell was his signature smile.
"Witchy healers, of course."
Anna smacked her hand against her forehead.
"Okay, so not only did I think warlocks were supposed to be ugly, but I thought they were supposed to be scary, too. You two are like Luke and Beauduk. At any moment, I just know the general is going to show up, and you're both going to slide in through the windows."
Jewel couldn't help but laugh at Anna's description of the warlock pair. She was right on. Z and Sly looked at each other, and some sort of unspoken communication happened. They both nodded, and then looked back at Anna and Jewel.
"Our wheelers want scary,"
Sly said.
"Then we'll give them scary,"
Z finished. The alley around them seemed to grow darker, as though someone had turned down the dimming switch.
But that wasn't what had chills crawling down Jewel's spine. Both warlock males seemed to grow in size, and their eyes were glowing. And then they both smiled, and Jewel and Anna gasped. Two rows of razor-sharp teeth greeted them. Then, almost instantly, the warlocks were back to their normal, handsome selves, and the alley had lost its grim darkness. "Point taken," Anna conceded. "You got scary covered."
"Now, as I was saying," Sly began again and was all business this time, "we've been instructed to make sure you have everything you need in order to carry out our master's plan. We have money for food, lodging, and anything else needed. Z and I will make sure you get anywhere you need to go safely. We are to perform whatever task necessary to aid you in your appointed mission."
"Okay," Anna looked at her. "So at least we know we can get a place to stay for the night, and then we can get a game plan in the morning. What do you think?"
"I think I'm horrible for doing this to you, but I also think I wouldn't be able to handle it if you weren't here. I think I need to say thank you, but I know that those words are so very, very inadequate."
"Dang, girl, be blunt," Sly retorted.
"We've already gone there, Jewel. We do what we have to in order to survive, and I plan to survive this." Anna sounded so sure, and it was then that Jewel could see the girl who had grown up taking care of herself. "I survived my gypsy mother, Jewel. I lived alone, went through puberty alone, ate dinner alone, ran a store alone, and I survived. I didn't get through all of that only to crash and burn over a little witch blood."
"Why aren't you freaking out?"
Jewel couldn't help but ask, because she understood human behavior, and Anna's wasn't a normal reaction. Anna laughed. "Probably because I've been too busy freaking out over having a mate. Who has time to worry about being a witch when you've got a male werewolf pursuing you?"
Jewel smiled back. She understood that.
"I get that."
"Whoa!"
Z yelled.
"Wait a sec," Sly added right after him. "You two are mated to werewolves?"
Jewel didn't miss the fear that flashed in both of the warlock's eyes.
"Sort of," Anna offered.
"There is no such thing as sort of mated," Z scoffed.
"I am marked by a werewolf," Jewel told them. She didn't offer up the fact that Vulcan, their master, had destroyed their bond.
Anna bit her lip and shuffled her feet as she spoke.
"I haven't met the wolf who claims to be my mate, but he likes to talk to me in my head."
Z and Sly just stared at them. They didn't even blink. They just stared.
"Is everything all right?" Jewel asked slowly.
"We thought we would be guarding you from other evil beings or guys who got touchy in clubs," Sly finally said. "Vulcan didn't say anything about guarding you from your own mates."
Jewel could tell that the two warlocks did not like the sudden revelation.
"Maybe if we explain things to them," Anna began, but stopped when Jewel shook her head. "They won't be able to hear us," Jewel told her.
"I'm with Jewelry," Sly agreed. "I've been around a few mated male wolves, and they don't listen to reason when it comes to their females."
"So what are you going to do?" Anna asked, once again biting at her lip.
Z offered both of them a tight smile that Jewel was sure he meant to be reassuring.
"We pray they don't hunt you."
"And if they do?"
Jewel asked, but she already knew the answer. Sly answered,
"We pray they don't find you, because if they find you, then they find us, two unmated males traveling alone with their mates. If they find us, Z and I might as well gut ourselves."
Anna frowned.
"They would kill you for being with us? That seems a little bit of an overreaction."
Both warlocks laughed and their eyes began to glow. They bowed together to both the girls and said,
"Welcome to the supernatural world, ladies."
Jewel shivered as she stared back at their glowing eyes. They reminded her of another pair of eyes, eyes that glowed pale blue out of a face that at times looked to be carved from stone. The warlocks were right. They had better pray that Dalton Black didn't hunt her, because if he did, he would find her. And, in his desperation to make sure she was safe and unharmed, he would kill anyone tied to Vulcan without asking questions or listening to explanations. Jewel and Anna followed their guardians down the alley and to the first hotel they could find. The address on the glass doors told them they were in Los Angeles. City of Angels, Anna whispered to her as they entered the hotel. Jewel nodded.
Would hate to see how it turned out if they'd named it Lost Devils.
Right, Anna laughed. They made it to their room without incident. Sly and Zee had gotten a suite that connected two rooms with a bathroom. Jewel had wanted a shower, but she didn't have a change of clothes. Something she and Anna agreed would have to be remedied quickly.
Anna,
Jewel called from the bathroom as she washed her hands and face.
Could we maybe share a bed? Or would that be weird?
Jewel didn't know the protocol for girls and sleeping arrangements. She'd never once been invited to a sleepover when she was in school. But she figured that in dire situations it was probably acceptable to share a bed. Anna poked her head into the bathroom.
Even if you had wanted to sleep in separate beds, I would have totally climbed into yours after you fell asleep.
Jewel didn't know why, but Anna's comment made her feel lighter. Anna held up a hand and grabbed one of her fingers with the other hand and began ticking things off.
I've been dealing with a ridiculous ache that is only getting worse because I'm the true mate to a werewolf. I ran from said werewolf because I don't know how to handle something so intense. I was tricked into leaving the pixie realm by a douchebag male pixie. And I've become a wheeler. If all that doesn't constitute a good enough reason to need to sleep in the same bed as my fellow wheeler, or holding hands and trembling, then I don't know what does.
Jewel laughed.
Holding hands and trembling?
If I recall, at one point during our relationship, you were willing to drink your own pee. Don't judge.
I stand by my recommendation. Urine is sterile. There are honestly worse things you could drink.
Anna shook her head. I'll stick to hand-holding and trembling. Once the lights were off, and Jewel was indeed lying in the hotel bed next to Anna, holding her hand, the severity of their situation came crashing down on her. Her hand squeezed her friend's reflexively, taking comfort in knowing that, though it wasn't fair for the other healer, she was glad Anna was with her. Perhaps, with the two of them together, they could keep each other from sliding too far into the darkness. But even as she thought this, Jewel remembered the story of the snake and the boy once again.
"You knew what I was when you picked me up,"
she said the words in her mind. The moral of the story? She could hope all day long that she wouldn't embrace the power and darkness in her. But the reality was, she knew when she agreed to go with Vulcan what he was, and she went anyway. Jewel closed her eyes, hoping sleep would come quickly so she could escape her worries for a little while. When sleep did finally come, she found herself back at Perry's in a coma. Dalton was sitting beside her bed. He was holding one of her hands in his larger ones and stroking the back of it with his thumb. The look on his face was one of complete adoration. She wondered if he would ever look at her again in such a way again. Was there any way, if Perry somehow found a way to defeat Vulcan, that Dalton could ever adore her again? The dream Dalton suddenly seemed aware of her watching them. His head turned slowly until his eyes were looking right at her. Despite being asleep, Jewel could feel her heart pounding in her chest. It pounded even harder when he spoke to her.
"Where are you?"
Jewel's eyes snapped open. Her breathing was rapid, and she could feel a cold sweat slick against her back. She glanced over at Anna, but the other girl was sleeping, completely oblivious to Jewel's reaction. It had been a dream, but yet it had felt as though Dalton was there, looking at her and seeing her. Jewel's stomach clenched even as her soul rejoiced. Her wolf was already on the hunt, and he wouldn't stop looking for her until he found her. The last words he'd said to her before she and Anna had stepped into the human realm reverberated through her mind like a warning bell.
"If I'm not here when you get back, it will be because I'm out there looking for you."
Anna was scared. She was hiding it well because she knew Jewel needed her to keep it together. Not because Jewel was weak and couldn't handle the situation, but because she'd already been through hell 7 times over. Anna hadn't been maimed by Perry's sister. Anna hadn't been in a coma for months. Anna hadn't been taken by Vulcan and beaten by him and violated by his blood. Who was she to complain about suddenly finding herself turned into a witch? After the childhood and adolescence she'd had, Anna would take being a witch with a friend over being alone any day.
"Never alone," his voice whispered in her mind.
It was so faint, but she still heard him. It was the first time he'd attempted to talk to her since she'd left the pixie realm.
Anna had wondered if he would be able to use their bond once she was no longer in the same realm. "Guess that answers that," she thought to herself.
"Are you safe, querida?"
he spoke again. Anna wasn't sure what came over her. Maybe it was because of the blood Jewel had shared with her, or maybe it was just the stress of the situation, causing her good sense to hitchhike out of town, but she decided to respond. "That depends on your definition of safe." She could feel his shock that she'd responded, though it was faint, like his voice. What she wasn't expecting to feel was the utter relief and joy that flooded him. Anna couldn't think of a time when anyone had ever been joyous over her.
"Then they were fools," he answered her thought. "I would define safe for you as you by my side. So perhaps I should ask, are you relatively safe? Is the pixie female with you?"
Anna would be lying if she said she wasn't affected by his words. She felt the truth in them. He truly did think that anyone who didn't rejoice over her was a fool. The ridiculousness of his definition of safe made her want to laugh, but the emotion behind the comment kept her from doing so. "What's your name?" Anna asked him, ignoring the whole safe question. After what Sly and Z had said about male wolves not liking their mate being around other males, she figured he might not consider her situation as safe at all.
"You're avoiding the question, Amor."
"Humor me, it's been a rough day."
"I am Gustavo, Alpha of the Spain Pack."
That explains the accent, Anna thought. She wasn't even going to examine the fact that she was kind of happy that her mate had a Spanish accent, because she had always thought Spanish accents were sexy. Nope, leaving that one alone right now. "I'm Anna, Gypsy of New Orleans." She heard him chuckle, and she liked that just as much as the accent.
"My sweet Anastasia, would you please tell me if you are safe? It would help my wolf and myself have better control."
"Oh, no, it won't," Anna nearly responded, but stopped the thought before she could hear it, or at least she hoped she did. She didn't want to lie to him, even though she was still scared of the whole mate thing. She didn't want the beginning of their relationship to start with lies.
"Yes, I am safe right now."
She felt his relief and was amazed to find herself relaxing a bit as well. She could tell he wanted to ask her where she was, but he hesitated. He was off balance. She didn't know if Gustavo was doing it on purpose or if he just didn't realize it, but his mind was an open book as she heard his confusion about how to proceed. He didn't want to push her too hard because she was frightened by his earlier pursuit. He was frustrated because he usually knew exactly how to handle a situation, but he was at a loss when it came to her. He seemed to have come to a decision when he finally spoke again.
"Then for right now, that will have to be enough for me, yes? You sound tired, so I will leave you be. And Anna, gracias."
"For what?" She couldn't stop the question from popping into her head.
"For speaking with me. I know you don't understand, but my wolf and I, we needed to hear you, so we thank you."
Anna heard so much more in that thank you than what he was acknowledging. He wasn't forcing her to face it, so she wasn't going to worry about it.
"Good night, Gustavo."
"Buenas noches, mi amor."
Anna told herself that the smile that was on her face when she drifted off to sleep had nothing to do with the Spanish Alpha and his sweet words or sexy accent. She did, however, allow herself to take comfort in knowing that he was there, that he was available if she needed him. How many times over the years had she needed someone just to be there? The security of knowing that someone was there for her, even if she just needed to talk, had never been something Anna had experienced. And even though he bid her good night, she could still feel him. Despite becoming a witch, being informed that she would be helping Jewel build a witch coven, and being placed in the care of two warlocks, that night Anna slept more peacefully than she ever had in her 19 years. Chapter 14.
I feel like at any moment I'm going to see this little chicken come running past me, yelling, "The sky is falling! The sky is falling!" The sky must be about to fall, because everything else is falling apart, so why not the sky too?
Perry.
Everything isn't falling apart, Perry. It's just a couple of minor setbacks.
Sally.
Nobody asked for your silver lining crapola.
Perry.
That's okay. I give it out for free.
Sally.
Do I really even need to touch that statement?
Perry.
Snap! I walked into that one. You win this round. Sally. So they're just going to hop around making witches? Sally asked a very flustered-looking Perry.
Well, I don't know if they're going to hop, skip, or jump, to be honest. Crap, for all I know, they're going to dance naked, offering themselves up to the elements.
Count me in, Costin quipped as he sat down next to Sally. Naked, dancing, and elements? Can't go wrong there.
Sally shot him a look. You aren't being helpful.
I'm not here to help, Sally mine. I'm just the eye candy.
He waggled his eyebrows at her suggestively. Sally couldn't help the huff of laughter his gesture caused. She shook her head at him and then turned back to Perry. So we've got Jewel and Anna AWOL and Stella, Heather, Kara, Adam, Krina, and Gustavo stuck in Pixieland. What's our next move?
It had been half an hour since Jewel and Anna had left Ferry, and Sally found herself in Perry's living room, gathered in a circle with the 7 unmated male wolves, Perry, Lucian, Elle, Soren, and Costin. Dalton hadn't come back to Perry's house, and Dylan had stayed with his beta. Everyone looked a little shell-shocked, and Sally had the urge to heat up some hot chocolate and pass it out to everyone.
Our next move is for me to consider that my first plan failed, and maybe it's time for me to ask all of you to help me come up with a new plan, preferably one that has a higher success rate than this last one, Perry said, sounding more tired than Sally had heard her in a while.
Nick, the Canadian beta, stood up. He glanced at his alpha, who gave an approving nod.
The Great Luna visited me. Something she said has stayed at the forefront of my mind. She said, "Circumstances often change necessities. It is necessary that the healers be protected. Who better to protect them than their true mates? I understand why you put them in the pixie realm," Nick told her. "I think all of us understand that decision."
The other males nodded in agreement.
"But I think we might need to consider that they would be safer with their mates and with all of us together."
Nick sat back down and the room was quiet as they waited to hear what Perry would say. Perry looked around the room at the male wolves, waiting for her response to Nick's words. Nick had actually just opened the door for what she'd been planning to bring to the table.
"Which of you feels they have a mate?" Perry asked them.
Kale, the Ireland beta, stood. Nick stood back up, and Ciro, the Italy alpha, stood. Perry looked at the wolves still sitting.
"None of you want to dispute any of their claims?"
Drayden, being the only alpha left sitting, and therefore the most dominant, acted as the spokesperson.
"We have actually discussed this amongst ourselves. The 3 males standing and Gustavo expressed that they were feeling the pull of the mate bond. They described the discomfort they were each feeling, and those of us sitting have not had any of that. We will be the first to admit we are disappointed, but we also rejoice that these worthy males have found their mates."
"Well said," Lucian told him, giving
each of the seated wolves a respectful bow of his head. Perry knew from being around male wolves for so long just how hard it was for them to wait for their mates. She wished that all of the males who'd showed up to help could have found their true mates, but she shuddered at the thought of having more than 5 new healers to protect, teach, and tolerate.
"If we bring the females back here, could you control your wolves?"
She eyed the 3 standing males.
"Just because you have found your mate doesn't mean she is ready to be bonded. We all know how volatile unbonded males are when their mates are around other unmated males. I need to know that you each will still be able to do what is asked of you when it comes to defeating Vulcan. I need to know that there will not be a bloodbath in my house because one of you gets a flea up your butt about your mates."
"Why can't the wolves just take their mates back home with them? Then the girls will have the protection of not just a few males, but their entire pack,"
Bannon, 3rd in the Ireland pack, asked.
"They aren't ready,"
Sally spoke up before Perry could answer. Perry knew Sally understood what the girls were going through better than anyone. She'd been new to their world and knew how difficult it was in the beginning to grasp so many new changes at once.
"They're going to have to go eventually," Bannon pointed out. "It's not like they can expect to be mated to one of these males and not go live in their territory."
Perry had to stop herself from smacking the wolf on the forehead. He meant well. He really was trying to be helpful. But helpful and stupid seemed to be neck and neck for him on this topic.
Bannon, Sally said his name as if she was talking to a 5-year-old. These are human females, several of them teenagers, if we want to get technical, who have never believed in the supernatural until now. They had no clue werewolves and pixies and fairies were real. As if that wasn't enough, now we're going to throw on their plate, oh, by the way, you are a supernatural being as well. Guess what, girls? You are gypsy healers, which basically means that life as you know it is over, because one of your biggest purposes in life is to serve the pack. Your pack. Oh, yeah, and that reminds me, you need to know that you will have a mate and he will be a werewolf. She paused, obviously waiting to see if her words were sinking in. Can you see how adding one more thing, like, oh, you have to move to a whole other country as well, might be a little much? Causton leaned close to his mate. Though he looked like he was going to whisper so only she could hear, he pulled one of those whisper yells.
You forgot to mention that they'd also have to be informed that their mate will want to bite them, and that they will have to bite their mate in return, and that they will have strange markings that suddenly appear on their bodies.
Sally pursed her lips and patted her mate's hand. Thank you for pointing that out, babe. Since I think they heard you, I'm not going to repeat it. She looked back at Bannon and raised a brow at him. He raised his hands in surrender.
Point made, healer. I wasn't thinking.
No, Sally disagreed. You were thinking, but you were thinking like a male werewolf who has the overwhelming drive to claim their mate, mark her, and then take her to their territory. You were thinking like your beast. The great Luna created your race so that you could have the best parts of both species. You need to think with both your wolf mind and with your human reasoning, especially when it comes to your true mates.
Can you handle all that?
Perry asked them again. After several tense moments, each of the males nodded.
Good,
Perry told them. She started to say something more, but was interrupted by a knock at the door. Lucian pulled open the door, and since they'd all been looking up at about where a normal person's head would be, they all looked down in unison when the little pixie woman cleared her throat.
Adira!
Perry stood and walked quickly over to the woman.
What happened to you? Weren't you with Anna when she left your realm?
Adira nodded at her.
Cecil lied to us. I left with Anna to make sure she got here safely. Once we got here, she met up with another healer named Jewel. They started talking about witch stuff.
Her eyes were wide as she looked up at Perry.
Witches, Parizada!
It was as though Adira was imploring her to understand.
I know,
Perry told her gently.
Well then, Anna, well, she wasn't really just Anna. She was something more. She knocked me out. I woke up in the grass at the side of your house. Where is she?
Perry's jaw clenched.
She and Jewel have left. They are under the influence of Vulcan's magic.
Adira started to say something, but then there was another knock at the door. Lucian opened it again, and this time everyone's heads had to tilt way back in order to see the newcomer, who was inhumanly tall.
Thadric, Perry's lips tilted in a frown. When you said we'd see you again, I didn't realize you meant so soon.
Thadric wasn't looking at Perry. Instead, his eyes were fastened on Adira.
Is that a pixie?
His deep voice rumbled through the house. The astonishment on his face was almost comical, considering his size, the fancy suit, and royal countenance. The djinn were proud creatures, if not a tad eccentric. Thadric took it to a whole other level.
Is that a djinn?
Adira mimicked Thadric dramatically. Perry shot the room a glance when some of her people started to laugh. The last thing she needed was an affronted djinn throwing a tantrum.
Thadric, why are you here? Perry said, attempting to draw his attention from Adira,
who was glaring at the 7-foot djinn as if she had a chance in hell in defeating him if they were to get into an altercation. Thadric pulled his eyes away from Adira, but instead of answering Perry, he smiled and gave a slight bow.
Sally, so good to see you again.
Causton let out a low growl and pulled a grinning Sally into his lap.
Hey, Thad, good to see you out and about.
For crying out loud, Perry growled. Thadric, what the hell are you doing out of your decrepit old house and in my not-decrepit house?
The djinn finally gave her his attention. He shrugged.
I was bored. You were bored.
Perry repeated slowly, as if trying to get her brain around it. I have two healers missing, two realms shut tight, four male wolves who want to meet their mates, and you stopped in because you were bored.
That is correct.
Thadric gave a nod. He stood there staring at her and then at those behind her, looking for all the world like he expected them to entertain him. Perry threw her hands in the air.
You know what? Fine. Come in. But if you stay, you are going to help. I'm the historian, Parizada. You know we do not interfere with the supernatural world.
Oh, blow it out your haughty butt, Thad. You interfered just fine when you took Sally off your front porch and held her against her will. He didn't look the least bit remorseful.
It had been centuries upon centuries since I'd seen a healer in the flesh. I simply wanted to talk to her.
Whatever. The point is, you aren't just going to come in here and sit around watching to get your jollies off because you're bored. If you stay here, you will help, or I will call in favors from every supernatural I know to make your existence very difficult. He thought it over briefly and then walked fully into the room.
Fine. I will assist where I can.
Perry's words were cut off by yet another knock. Oh, for crying out loud, Perry yelled. I've lived here for more than 1,000 years and have never had this many people knocking on my door in one day. Lucian opened the door, and the minute Perry saw who was standing there, she flung out her hand and used her power to shut it right back.
Perry Fairy, open this door, the voice on the other side sang.
Sally squealed at the sound of the voice. She started for the door, but Perry held her in place with no more than a flick of her wrist.
Just ignore her. She'll go away soon enough, Perry told everyone. Sally, you have work to do here.
Sorry, Perry, but BFF having a baby totally trumps all your work. Now open the door, or I'll teach Thea to call you Aunt Pudgy.
Perry glanced at the door.
She's bluffing, she whispered to her mate.
There was silence, and then Perry could hear the muffled voice on the other side of the door. Silence again, and then a cell phone went off. Sally grabbed the phone from her back pocket and answered it.
Hello?
She paused and then said,
Sure thing,
and tossed the phone to Perry. The use of the cell phone solved the mystery of how Jen was able to get into the fairy realm. She'd found out earlier when she attempted to call Krina in the pixie realm that Vulcan's magic shut down more than just their ability to travel. At least now she knew she could attempt that phone call again. She put the phone to her ear, already knowing who it was and what they wanted.
Hello, vassal, she told the alpha of the Romanian wolves.
Let her in, Parizada. If she makes my life a living hell, then I in turn am obligated to make your life a living hell.
Fine, but I need Sally here.
Jackie needs her more. You know she would never forgive you if she missed her best friend having her first child,
vassal pointed out. Perry let out a growl.
Fine.
She ended the call without saying goodbye to the Alpha and tossed the phone back to Sally. Perry then reached out her hand and motioned for the door to open. The beautiful blonde was still standing there, complete with her usual smirk.
Hello, Jennifer.
Miss me?
Jen asked with a wink, and then pushed past Perry to get to the once again squealing Sally. Perry watched the girls hug and squeal and hug some more. The best thing out of the whole situation was watching the horrified looks on all the males' faces as they took in the reality that was girlfriends reuniting after an extended time apart. They were talking so fast it was hard to understand anything they said, and she wondered how they could even understand each other. She turned to Lucian.
We have a game plan. Once we figure out how to get back into the pixie realm, we will bring the females back here. Can you dismiss everyone? Make sure Thadric has a room if he's going to stay, and Adira as well. I'm going to take the two hyenas up to our room so I can talk with Jen about how she is even here and see if I can guilt-trip Sally into staying.
She knew there was probably no reason to even ask Jen about being able to travel through the fairy veil, considering Sally's phone worked, but she at least wanted to know if Jen had to try more than once to get through. Lucian's eyes softened.
She will come back. I know, but Sally, she's just really good for these girls.
I don't have the calm spirit that they are going to need, especially as they meet their mates and are faced firsthand with how fun you guys are to be stuck with." Lucian pressed a kiss to her forehead and turned her in the direction of Jen and Sally.